every time that we do that scripture, it always sparks or pricks my heart, knowing that about how powerful those scriptures are. But also pricks my heart on how much we need those instructions for us. Okay, on our Bible study tonight, don't forget, what's next week? Picnic. What time? I'm glad we take the time to print calendars and print bulletins, put slides up on our wonderful projector. 6 o'clock. What you gonna bring? Side dishes and drinks that you can share with us. Don't be stingy. Yeah. Our Bible lesson tonight. Is entitled, How Then Should We Live? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Before you're seated, David, did you get studies for them? Thank you. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and an earth in which righteousness dwells. Talking about the end times, ushering in a new heaven and new earth. The old will be burned up. But that's not what this lesson is going to focus on. Brother Paul came to me about the title of the message, wanted to know if I was reading the book. I kind of looked at him funny and didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But he said he had a professor. Now, you're either going to be in Sister Trisha's category or Brother Paul's category. He really liked this college course. She hated it. So tonight you'll either love this Bible study or you'll hate it. Which are you going to be? Good answer, Sister Karen. You got some brownie points. Let's take a look at the introduction. In this passage of Scripture, Peter asks the question, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And that is one that we as born-again believers need to ask ourselves each and every day. He was saying that as we see the coming of the Lord approaching, we should be asking ourselves that question. How then should we live? And I want to share tonight, there's five things that should be at the forefront of your living. You can't answer. You won't be able to help out with your spouse, your child, your kids, or whatever, anybody. But you'll have to give an account. And the first part of the five things is a life of prayer. Number two is a life of holiness. Number three, a life of worship, a life of witnessing, and last but not least, a life of anticipation and expectation. Because what you are anticipating, whether it's in your spiritual condition of on fire for God, whether it's doing any one of these five categories, we need to have that life of anticipation and expectation of what God's going to do, what He's ushering in to these last days. Because we still have victory, do we not? We sure do. We have victory not because of us, not because of your goodness, your kindness, your grace, but simply because God loves you and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that ultimate price for you and for me. Amen. Now we're going to take a look at these five categories of your living. The first one is life of prayer. Prayer is the most talked about experience of Christians, but sadly is often the least practiced in a believer's life. Sad to say, we don't walk the talk. We need to understand that what we miss out on are many things, but simply because, according to scriptures, it says, you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. Wrong motives, wrong desires. But James chapter 4, verse number 2, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And what is our theme for this year's scripture? Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Letter B. Many blessings are given to the people who call upon God in prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 simply says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." 1 Timothy 2:8, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray in Luke chapter 11. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So we see Jesus' response to this particular disciple with the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to turn with me to Luke, the 11th chapter, so that you can see it too. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time with a few more scriptures. That's what I did not print out for me, but I needed. So Luke chapter 11, 2, 3, and 4 is his response, and it's become known as the Lord's Prayer. "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" It's hard because being raised a Methodist, we learn a little bit different wording. Even though I haven't been in a Methodist church for quite a while, it's still fresh in my mind. It's kind of amazing you can remember things back then. But what did I have for lunch? We don't know. So I want to spend just a little bit of time here. How many know the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, probably more of you that don't. But this is a guideline that Jesus gave to his disciples, and it's very important. In the first part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, first and foremost, praise God when he began his prayer. Then that's when he made his request after he praised God. Now, what length of time? What consisted in Jesus' praise of God? I mean, countless times Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless I hear from the Father." So the first and foremost thing that we can praise God about is who our Heavenly Father is. He is a great God and greatly to be praised. There is no other name in heaven and earth. And I'm thankful for that. But after he made his request, we need to realize that praising God first puts us in the right frame of mind to tell him about our needs. And in our praising, we need to remember to use Scripture. Because I'm thankful for what Scripture speaks to us. One of the first and foremost that I like to quote is, he's a God who takes care of the weapons that come against us. Because Scripture says that there's no weapon formed against us that will or shall prosper. In other words, God's got it. Amen. We can't come to God as Santa Claus. You come with this long list of, and you just jump right in and start saying, I need this, I need that. I think God already knows what you have need of. And I know he still says to ask, but we need to get some praising. We need to get the right culture in our, till up the ground, break the clods up, get ready to sow the seeds. Amen. He doesn't say he's going to immediately answer you. And we need not to go into prayer with the idea that we already know what God needs to do for us. Oh no, God, you need to answer it this way. Excuse me? He didn't ask you how to make and create this heavens and earth, did he? Didn't ask how to create your body, did he? No, he didn't. So when we look at this prayer, we can't allow our prayers to become shopping lists. They need to stick as a conversation. I don't know, you might treat your mom and dad that way, or your grandma and grandpa. But what better way to get something from your heavenly or your earthly family? You got to lay it thick. You got to butter them up. It takes more than. And I've been guilty of that too with my parents. Mom always knew I was up to something. Or she'd always say, well, son, what's wrong with you? Well, now that you asked, let me tell you. But God wants a conversation. Even though he already knows what kind of a day you're having, he already knows the situations that you found yourself in. And so many of them are self-inflicted. situations. But he still wants to hear from you. Amen. Remember, aspects of prayer. The first thing is the content. You can write these down using verses 2-4 of that 11th chapter. But then we have the next little section. That's why I wanted you to open up your Bibles in verses 5 through 10. Luke 11:5 through 10. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to you." Remember, God's provisions are daily. Our daily bread. It doesn't come all at once. And yes, we can't store it up like the children of Israel with the manna situation. God took care of their daily needs. And he blessed them. When Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, he made forgiveness the cornerstone of their relationship with God. God has forgiven our sins. We must now forgive those who have wronged us. To remain unforgiving shows we have not understood that we ourselves need to be forgiven. All of us. In the last section, verses 11, 12, and 13, is talking about God's faithfulness. Yes, we know God is faithful. But what does that mean when we're not hearing, we're not seeing, we're not feeling God's power and glory? It means that's when our faith needs to kick in, that he will. Verse number 11, 12, and 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father forgive, or will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Things start to fall into place when we put things into order in our own life. simple scriptures that we forget about. The order of prayer is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And again, I would encourage you each and every morning when you get up, maybe read Luke chapter 11, verses 2, 3, and 4. And let that be your morning time to start with. I crack up on the commercials for the prayer app. Read a little bit of scripture and say something. About 15 seconds worth. Is that all you got to say to your Heavenly Father? And I've never gone into the app, so I can't. Probably shouldn't have said anything, but just kind of one of those that don't sound right. Because we should desire more and more to spend time with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, and with our Holy Ghost that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Let me get back on to. And the last thing, letter D. A person of prayer is a person of purpose. He's also a person of provision. A person of protection. A person of praise. What do all these words have in common other than they begin with the letter P? I won't give you that one. A person of prayer is a person of purpose, provision, protection, and praise. Get your little thinking caps on. I didn't come up with the words that begin with P because prayer and person. It's because they have a connection into the prayer of His people. I'm still going to find that Jeopardy music. And have Brother Paul play it when we're thinking. Nobody wants to launch out into the deep. Let me ask you another question. And I know you've all heard me say, prayer is not for God, prayer is for you. Now, group these four words in there. Purpose, provision, protection, and praise. Connect them back to a praying person. If you don't pray, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I would I'm one who wants everything and everything I can get from God. What about you? Sometimes maybe you need to swallow your pride. Well, bless God, I can do it myself. Well, how's it working so far? So a praising or a praying person is one for purpose, provision, protection, and praise. They all go together in filling in your character. Prayer changes things. Yes, it does. Doesn't change God, it changes you in order for your position to be for purpose. We all need a purpose, don't we? Man, it's already time. One? Is that what you said? Oh, okay. Purpose, provision, protection, and praise. It always comes back to praising. In this lesson, there's more on worship. We think just because we praise, we worshiped. Total different thing. Worship is a lifestyle. And what was Peter's question? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Did you know that there are people who think that cleanliness is next to godliness? If you can find it in your Bible, let me know where. Godliness is cleanliness inside us. What does Romans 12 say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds more often than what we do. That's why we need to pray. Does anybody have any comments or questions? You can look at your outline and see the next four. Four things that should be in front, your forefront of your life. We talked more about prayer than we have any four items. Point number two. A life of holiness. Yes, holiness is still what pleases God. Why? Because letter A, Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Your computer that you play around with, called a phone, it'll override your mind every time. The influence that that has on your brain, on your thinking, on your choices. We need to understand that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where your heart is, there is also your treasure. Holiness of mind. So what do you think you should do? Watch as much porn as you want? Well, how about your soap operas? You haven't heard that one for a while, have you? We've been delivered from our morning and afternoon soap operas, but we still have our evening time soap operas. Some of the drama that's, you could say Yellowstone is one of them. I don't even know what's on HBO anymore, or Cinemax and those. For sure. Holiness of heart, Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. Your heart's where your motives are. Holiness of hands. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And on page 2, we all are to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but he called us in holiness. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Psalms 93, verse 5. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Does anybody have any comments or questions? The rest of the outline is pretty explanatory. Finishing up with a conclusion, though. How then should we live? We should live a life of prayer, a life of holiness, a life of worship, a life of witnessing, and then our life can be one of anticipation and expectation, for the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Anticipate. Expect great things when you come to church. And probably more so if you're having a bad morning. Many times those bad mornings, God's able to turn into greatness. Amen. No comments or anything? Would you stand with me then?